May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts always be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You are Peter, and you're walking up a mountain with Jesus. This isn't your first time. On mountains, you've seen Jesus healing hundreds, teaching thousands. But this time is different. This time, there are no crowds, no throngs of people waiting on his word. It's just you and James and John and Jesus at the front, putting one sandaled foot in front of the other, hiking up a mountainside. What do you see when you look at the man in front of you? Do you see your friend, your teacher, your leader, your Messiah, the Son of God, a man condemned to die? How do you hold together this confusing jumble of ideas as you look at a man leading you up a mountain and you try to figure out what he's going to tell you this time? The air thins, the view lengthens, your feet ache. You reach the top of the mountain and you still don't know what you're here for. And then everything changes. His face, a face you know so well, blinds you with light. His simple clothes, dusty from the road, immeasurably white. Your friend, your teacher, made dazzling and awesome and strange. And just as you blink away the light, you realize that you are not alone. Two men stand with him, both strange and familiar, like figures from stories that you've heard a thousand times. You know them. Your mouth starts before your brain does. But as you babble about setting up tents, what thoughts are racing through your head? What tugs at your heart at this world turned upside down? Your friend made into something strange and strangers you recognize like friends. You're interrupted. A cloud above you, overcoming you, shadows so deep they're bright, brightness like shade, a voice that seizes your heart and shakes your soul. This is my son, the beloved. Your knees hit the hard ground. Your face falls into dirt. Listen to him. How long do you stay there, trembling on the ground, eyes pressed tight together, heart pounding, pebbles digging into your palms? You feel a gentle hand on your shoulder and a familiar voice. Get up. Don't be afraid. When you look up, Jesus is alone. No cloud, no blinding light, no Elijah, no Moses. What do you see when you look into his face, his utterly normal face? Your teacher, your friend. Is he enough to settle the blood thudding in your ears, to calm your racing heart? When you go down the mountain, Jesus will tell you not to tell anyone about your vision, not yet. But I wonder if you even could. if you understand what you just saw and what you just felt. This is a strange story. It was a strange experience, I'm sure, for Peter, James, and John, and it's just as strange for us today. We don't know what to do with shining faces and long-gone prophets and voices from clouds. But I wonder if there's not something familiar here. I wonder where you recognize yourself in this story. And these are not, as Rhonda said last week, rhetorical questions. I invite you to answer them for yourself in your head. I wonder if you can think of a time of discernment. A time when you've been turning over questions too big for you to answer. A time when you've wrestled with contradictions and grappled with a future that you can't possibly understand. A time of discernment. I wonder if you can think of a time of strangeness, a time when you've seen something familiar through new eyes, a time when you've seen the extraordinary in something utterly ordinary and mundane, when you've seen God's glory in the face of a friend or of a stranger, a time of strangeness. I wonder if you can think of a time of awe, a time when you've been overwhelmed by glory and wonder and power, when you've been struck with fear in the face of your own smallness and powerlessness, time of awe. And I wonder if you can think of a time of comfort from fear. A time when the touch of a friend and the voice or the face of someone you love was enough to calm your heart in the face of terror. Now, maybe all of these experiences were in church, maybe. But probably they weren't. Maybe all these experiences made you think of God, but probably they didn't, at least not at the time. And yet, God was there. In your confusion and your strangeness and your awe and your comfort, God was there just as much as God was on the mountain with Peter, James, and John. God was there working through all your life, pulling you ever closer to God's self. And that's the thing about the Bible when we find ourselves in it. There is a transfigurative power to these stories, which is to say, they change how we see things, how we see our memories, how we see our lives, how we see ourselves. If we let them, these stories can sanctify and transform the utterly ordinary when we recognize God's grace through all our lives. From the glory of transfiguration to the emptiness of the desert, to the pain and humiliation of the cross, I pray we let ourselves see the God who is with us.